Today is the 3rd of January 2010. We are in Low Hamlet in the Meditation Hall Assembly of the Star. During the winter retreat, we have learned the sutra on auspicious signs. Now we learn the new one is the same topics, Muni. We have a Chinese text. Everyone need to have, or any monastic need to have one Chinese text in order to learn directly. We also learn this one Vietnamese text. But we do not have the English yet because we have to spend a lot of time for celebrating New Year and Christmas. So this sutra is also on the topics of Muni. In last month, we learned the two sutras. One is about auspicious signs, and one is about Muni. But now it's another topics of another sutra, have the same topics, Muni. And you compare the two Muni sutras, it's very interesting. And they came from two corners of the planet. Those who went south, the Buddhist teaching went south, Sri Lanka, translated into Pali, and then those who come from the south, northwest, in Kashmir, and then went to China, to Tibet, but for more than 2,000 years, we have the chance to compare these two texts. Come from very various parts of the planet, and then in the Chinese text, you see that as well as the Pali text, is a lot of similarity. And especially in the Gatha, it means the poem, are very similar. The Chinese text we have here, we have it from the around the third half of the third century after Jesus Christ. But even that, the style is still very ancient, very old. A little bit difficult, classical. Sometimes I could not see clearly the sign, the meaning, but I have to compare with the Pali text, and I compare with the other texts, and finally I found the essential teaching. And that is because it's very old style. This sutra, the one who translated this sutra is also translated Dhammapada sutra. So this sutra is located in the series of sutra called Neetukin. It's a Chinese word I will translate. This sutra is also translated Dhammapada sutra. So this sutra is located in the series of sutra called Neetukin. It's a Chinese word I will translate. Nể tụng kinh. And the Sanskrit word is, he wrote in a table. Aka mean the meaning, tuk mean the feet, root I think. This also means, tuk mean also completeness, this fullness, the complete meaning. Chang also mean also path, the complete path, the fullness of the path. This sutra have been translated around mid of 3rd century after Jesus Christ, and then 197 and 198 from the Taisho Tripitaka. Taisho Tripitaka, because there's many Tripitaka too, but the Taisho is very used by many teacher. Tripitaka means the three basket of the teaching. The teaching is one basket, the original text is one basket, the Vinaya on the recommendation, and the second basket, and the third is the explanation. So three basket means Tripitaka, it means all the combination of the teaching of the Buddha via the original text, the explanation, and on the rule. This monastic code by the monastic under the direction of the Buddha. And so that sutra have been translated by that man, I don't know the name, he wrote in a board, I cannot see clearly. At that moment I read so that Ji Kim, yeah, that lay people, Ji Kim, is a lay people, but a very learned person. But then he translates together with Tang Hoi. Tang Hoi is a monk coming from Vietnam. To Dong Ngo, is a, at that moment China divided into three countries. And one country is Dong Ngo. One Dong Ngo is in the south, east. And so the Tang Hoi is a monk coming from Vietnam, came to Dong Ngo, and at that moment there is no monastic at all in Dong Ngo, in China, that part of China. So China have been divided into three countries called Bắc Ngụy in the north, and the Dong Ngo in the southeast, and in the Tây Thuộc it means west. West Thuộc. So Dong Ngo is one of the three main part of China, and they have their own king. And at that moment, there is a monk coming from Jiaoji. Jiaoji is a province that China called a province of China, but in fact that is Vietnam now. And so that monk came from Jiaoji. In the history of Buddhism, it was recorded that it is a monk coming from the southern part of China, but in fact it's come from Vietnam. And then there, he is a single monk who practices and finds slowly he persuades and he moves the heart of the king of that country called Ngô Tôn Quyền, and that king set up the first temple for him, calling the first temple of China Chùa Kim Sơn. So Thầy Tăng Hội is the name of that monk coming from Vietnam. D A N J, another word H O I, for those of you who know Romanized word but not Chinese. And Tang Hoi is the son of a trader man from India. A young trader man from India, from Sotjen, is little country of India, little state of India. And so when the trade man arrived in Vietnam, he fell in love with a young Vietnamese girl, and they marry, and they give birth to a child. And they give birth to that monk. It means at that moment it was a son, but slowly the both parents passed away when he was only 10 years old. And so people confined him to a temple. And he was raised by monk in the temple until he grown up. And so he is very learned. He's very intelligent boy. He knows Sanskrit, he knows Chinese, he knows Vietnamese, and he become a very learned Dharma teacher. And then he walked until China, Donggo, and Nanking is the capital of Donggo, Nanking now in China. And there, the king of Donggo was reside, and he practiced there alone. And people are curious, and slowly he can convince the king of Donggo and set up a monastery where there is many Buddhist monastic settled in Donggo. So this sutra have been translated by Chi Khiêm, the lay person there, and then in Tang Hoi. And in this sutra it's called the meeting of father and son. The father is the king Suddhodana, the father of the Buddha. And then the son is the Buddha Shakyamuni. So according to this sutra, and after being enlightened, the Buddha come back to see his father right away. And Thay said that here you receive the lamp of transmission, you do not come back to see your father right away. So this sutra is the essential teaching of this sutra is is 14 poems, 14 gathas, and he's the first gatha. And each line in Chinese is one gatha. And I think each two lines is one gatha. We wish that today we can learn four gathas of this sutra. This sutra have 14 gathas. They are very original, very primitive teaching. They have the equivalent in Pali beside the 14 gathas. There is also a part in prose, and usually prose, and after that they summarize into poems. So according to Staller, the scholar, the prose is trying to share the background in order to show the essential teaching in the gathas. And so in the Dhammapada is the same. They also have a background in prose, and after that they condense into gathas to summarize the most essential teaching. And especially as a scholar, we know that when you explain into prose sometimes is lack one sentence or is an extra sentence that the person recite can add and unintentionally. But in gathas, in a poem, you cannot make a mistake. And there is the rhyme, there is everything condensed. And we know 14 is 14, but no adding. And so the part of poetry is the most essential teaching. So the sutra on the meeting of the father and the son. And here is a sutra where the Buddha visits his family. Where? When he arrived home, the whole family, Shakya, that royal family, is very interested. And the king himself go to the gate of the city to welcome the Buddha. And they saw a group of people walking gently, powerfully, peacefully, so impressive. And so the king have to bow deeply, touch the earth, and then pay respect to the Buddha. And people say that why your father have to pay respect to you? And then people explain that the Buddha explained that when his mother was pregnant, they said that monk, that young seed have been the continuation of holy seed from many great ancestors. The Buddha said that yes, I am the son of Suddhodana, the king Suddhodana. However, when my mom is pregnant and it have been many holy energy of many holy ancestors who come together, and I'm only the continuation of only spirit together with my father. Yeah. So he give the explanation about how he was conceived, and then he give birth by his mom, and then that is the last part of his path of enlightenment, his path of deep vision of the world. And so Shakyamuni is the silent, deep monk. The Muni means the serene and deep person. This silent, deep monk have no desire to quarrel, to debate, to dispute. And they call him Muni, the very serene, deep, silent monk of the family Shakya. That's all. There's nothing nothing very very complicated. So this sutra is one of the oldest sutra, one of the oldest teaching of the Buddha in the Theravada school. The scholar, when they make a research about this sutra, they saw that the style as well as the way the construction of the sentence, they said that maybe one of the oldest sutra, and the style, the way of explaining is very, very old. And so the Buddhist scholar agree that this sutra considered like the most original. It can express the deep spirit of the primitive Buddhist. The last year of Plum Village we have to learn that there is three school of three mainstream of Buddhism. We call original Buddhism the first one, and the second one is the stream of Buddhism is various school. The first one is primitive Buddhism, original Buddhism. The second is various school Buddhism. We also learn in our winter retreat, we learn various school of Buddhism at the second phase. And different school, there's maybe hundreds, but the about two dozen remain because they are really have a big number of practitioners. And various school Buddhism, the second part, the second phase, and the third one is Mahayana Buddhism. So three phases of Buddhism, three mainstream, start by primitive original Buddhism, and then after that, there is a number of teachers who interpret. The most important teaching of the Buddha is that, and so he set up one school. And then the other great teachers too say that, no, for me the most important teaching of Buddha is that, is the second school. And the third school, and fourth school, and many hundred, but about two dozen or three dozen who are very great school. So it's about 100 after the primitive Buddhism start from the passing away of the Buddha until 140 years. From the passing away day of the Buddha until 140 years, we call primitive Buddhism. And from 140 to a number of century later, they call various school of Buddhism. And then the third part who grow until now is Mahayana Buddhism. Because that has happened before the birth of Jesus Christ. And we see that the teaching of the Buddha is very powerful. It's proof that during the time of the Buddha, his personality is so strong that it can keep the unity of his Sangha until 140 years. One century and a half, his disciples still in one stream. One stream, 140 years. And then 140 years after the passing away of the Buddha, that they start to set up two schools. They call the Stabira, the conservative one, and Mahasanghika, the progressive one. And from the Stabira, they divide into many, many other schools. And Mahasanghika, they divide into many other schools. And so we call various schools of Buddhism, second phase. So original Buddhism is 140 years after the passing away, plus 80 years of being alive, the life of the Buddha. So we call the original Buddhism when the Buddha was alive, plus the 140 years after he passing away. And it's proof that the personality, the practice of the Buddha is so deep and so great that he can keep the unity of his Sangha for one century and a half, almost two centuries. When we learn the sutra, we see that the original Buddhism is only exists only a few years only, because things is impermanent, things is growing. So Ngietu was that sutra who have been spoken for the first few years. during the time where the Buddha do not set up any monastery, there is still wandering group of monks and nuns and go around and teaching, sharing. Even the King Bimbisara have offered the bamboo grove, but it's not exactly a monastery yet. It's a place where they go back to sleep under the tree. And there is no code about monastery, monastic code for a monastery. And at that moment, the Buddha and those who follow the monk who followed the Buddha, they called him, and his Sangha is a kind of a monk who go and share the teaching of people. And Muni, it means serene, deep and silent monk. Because at that time in India, there's so many good schools on philosophy, and they dispute a lot, they quarrel a lot, but the Buddha keep silent. He only share very essential thing for the practice. So Muni is the one who is very silent, deep, serene. And this sutra is among the texts very old where the Buddha see his father. And then there is a question, dear Buddha, how you can call a Muni person? And the answer is, can you give a definition about a Muni monk? And that is the explanation of the Buddha. So the first sutra, the first gatha, is very complicated. Three first word, could be the person who have been adorned with all the wonderful qualities and the precept, the beauty, adorned with the beautiful virtue, yeah, discipline, incarnate, discipline and virtue. Dương Hạt Giống, Thầy tried to explain. We have to recognize how we can recognize such a Muni monk. How to recognize a perfect Muni, silent, deep, serene. Bằng Hà Ngôn, what we can say about such a person? What we can say about such a person? Please explain that for me. For us, how you can recognize a such a Muni person who adorned, who incarnate with all these qualities and these virtue. Somebody asked. This someone who is born in this life, like a hero, can incarnate that such a wonderful energy, like a hero. How we can recognize a person? in among countless of people who suffer in this world, how you can recognize such a person who is so deep, so serene, so powerful called Muni? In the countless of people who suffer, how we can recognize such a person? We have to do in such a way that we can recognize such a person who is born as a hero on this world. We have to say in such which way that we can describe a true Muni who have all the qualities, who incarnate a lot of qualities, a lot of wisdom, etc. Who is born as a hero for this world. That is the first sentence. Here is the answer of the Buddha. When we read that sentence, we see that that privilege has followed strictly the teaching of the Buddha originally. What is already gone? Letting go on this anger, retaliation, hatred, and so on. The one who can let go on this past anger, on the past suffering, hate, blame, reproach, those in the past, we let go. Muni is someone who can let go on this suffering, the blaming, the reproaching, the suffering in the past. Ki means drop it. Drop it, letting go. On our hate, anger, suffering in the past. And then on the dream in the future, we don't, such a person will not be pulled by what will happen in the future. We are not caught by the sadness, fear, and anger in the past. We are not sucked by all the project in the future. On the planning, that person have to go back to the present moment, but not even caught by a number of appealing in the present moment. In the present moment, there is many appealing too, and can make you drown too. So you are not let go on the retaliation, hate, anger in the past. You are not pulled by what is even exciting dream in the future, but in the present moment, such a person will not be drowned, attached by a number of things like fame, sex, and a lot of craving. So that is, even that is that person is venerable, but they are not caught by this veneration. They are offering a lot of opportunity to have fame, power, money, but they are not caught by that. They can let it go easily. So the quality of a monastic, we must to practice in such a way. And we see the Buddha born from a royal family and is able to become a king, but he lived a very simple, humble life and really free from all these fame, sex, attachment, craving, and so on. And so he's real free person, and that is a Muni, is a real Muni. So the question, please explain to us how we can describe a Muni, a true Muni person, and the person who are adorned with qualities and virtue. So the answer of the Buddha is the one who can letting go, drop all the anger, retaliation, reproach, blame, and they are not, such a person will not pull away by excited dream, great dream in the future. They can look at the dream in the future with a very serene mind, but without being really pulled. And also, even the present moment, such a Muni will not be caught by attachment, by a number of not very healthy things. So that is the first sentence of answer about Muni. That is translation of Chi Khiêm, lay person. But Tăng Hội, the monk Tăng Hội, have put his insight in the translation that too. It was recorded like that. The lay Buddhist Chi Khiêm, even he is a very good translator, but he do not receive the five mindfulness training. And is in the history it was noted at the end of his life he received the five mindfulness training. But at that moment there is no other teacher than Tăng Hội, so Chi Khiêm can be the disciple of Tăng Hội. Even he is a learned Buddhist man, but he has not received. But at the end of his life, he have received the five precepts from Tăng Hội. Five precepts, they didn't say that from Tăng Hội, but Thầy mentioned that, believe that is Tăng Hội. Chi Khiêm have translated a dozen of Buddhist texts. Buddhist texts from Chinese, I think that. And then a number of sutra from Theravada, and it has been known that the Dhammapada have been translated by Chi Khiêm too. But Chi Khiêm also translate the Mahayana sutra like a Vimalakirti sutra. Of Prajna Sutra. So Thầy Tăng Hội also translate a number of Theravada Sutra and Mahayana Sutra. Chi Khiêm also translate a number of original sutra, but also Mahayana Sutra. And Vimalakirti is a number of few first Mahayana Sutra have been translated also by Chi Khiêm. I read that in the history of Chinese Buddhism, and I have the impression that both of them work together for the translation. Because, Chi Kim lived in Dong Ngo, in the country where Tang Hoi came there, and spread the Dharma and persuade the king to become Buddhist and then have a temple, first temple. In the name of Chi Kim, is born in China, but he also from the province or something called Chi, a country called Chi, state called Chi. That detail gives us the impression that the relation between Tang Hoi and Chi Kim are very close. And then Chi Kim have received 5 mindfulness training from Tang Hoi. Even they didn't say like that, but they said that at the last part of his life he received the 5 precepts. And in the Buddhist history of China, it said that when Thầy Tang Hoi come to Dong Ngo, at that moment there is no monastic at all. No monastic. And in the Han Dynasty there is no Chinese Buddhist monastic yet. And so it's the first time they have the great ordination ceremony to transmit the precept of Bhikshu or Bhikshuni in China. And I know that in order to make a great ordination, you need 10 high monk. And so Tang Hoi have to invite 10 high monk from Vietnam to come. And then after that, they have a number of Chinese monastic. And after that, they build up the first Buddhist temple in China. And there is a lot of revolution, but that first China temple is still there. Now it's Nanking capital, we have visited, but it's no longer a monastery, it's only foundation. So when you visit China, you visit Nanking, and it's no longer a temple, but you can see the ruin, the foundation of that first temple of China. It's around half of the 3rd century after Christ. The one Muni who have incarnated the discipline and the virtue, please, Gautama, tell us. You have been born like a holy person. Can you tell me us more? And how such a person can stand firm in that drowning countless of human beings who suffer and go up and down, and such a person can be very firm, solid in that situation of suffering in the world. The answer of the Buddha. First is the one who can drop, who can let go all these anger, hatred in the past, and then in the one who is not pulled by exciting dream in the future, is not caught by fame, sex, craving of the present moment too. So now we go to the second temple, the second gathas. Is on the thinking, the thoughts about future, such a person cannot be caught. We are on this life. We don't care about what happened in the future, even we letting go, kasyarasara, letting go. What happens, happen. You keep your serene mind, open mind, and what happened, you are ready to face and to deal with beauty and dignity. You don't need to worries about future. Oh, what happened if like that? What happened is like that? You just keep your serene mind, and what happens, happen. And with your serene mind, you know how to act with beauty, with dignity, and get out. So you don't, of those of you that, oh, if tomorrow when Thai pass away, what happened to Plum Village? You are caught in that part. But the future, you just keep your serene, loving, clear mind. And what happened, happened. The perception of the past, you let them go. You let them all go. At every step, such a person have dropped on the craving. On the craving about the future, have letting go on the sadness of the past. Such a person do not hold on this worldly treasure, like it's not only gems and material things, but also some thought that we think that is very precious. You also hold, you also get attached by that. You let go everything. You are free. You are free, you're letting go on your belonging, even the physical belong, material belonging like jewel, money, and so on. But you're also letting go on this, we think that is the most precious thing, your philosophy or something like that. You're also letting go. The orange is top. It's on very stop. They already have a very little, but they all always exist like a trace on it. Not be drowned by the future, not to be sad by the past, do not be attached by what happened in the present moment. It's about your opinion. You have a system of thought, something you also let go. Each of us have a system of thought. And because your system of thought is different from other system of thought that we are starting to quarreling, you are starting to disagreeing to each other. So Muni is someone who also letting go on this thing. You let open. And you let open your mind. And you have that opinion, of course, you cannot avoid, but you are not attached. You are not caught by that idea. You don't understand this sentence, this gatha, if you don't understand the background of the every of this poem have been born. At that moment in India, there's so many great system of philosophers, and they are debating a lot, quarreling a lot, and all the philosopher is great, but it's quite different from each other. And so, and the Buddha said, someone think that they are Muni, but they are not Muni, because they are quarreling too much of their system of thought that they think that's the best. Their system of thought is the best. Mr. A, that group A, believe that his system of thought is the best. Group B also believe that their system of thought is the best. And because of that, they are still quarreling, and so they are not Muni. Muni is somebody who are silent, deep, alive, living beautifully. What they discover and live happily, joyfully, freely, freer than other group of philosophers who spoke a lot, quarreling a lot, debating a lot. And they said that if you are an achieved person, an enlightened person, not because you have a high philosopher way and you win on the debating, on the debate, but is if you embody that beauty, that greatness, that light, and then you are Muni. You are Muni, you have to let go. Not only material things like money and everything, but you also letting go any of your system of philosophy. So you do not need to debate anything. You are that light, you are that peace, you are that great understanding, that love. You don't need to debate. The definition of the right view. The definition of right view in Buddhism is you release on the view. You release on the view in order to be in touch what we can. In touch, deep, profound, serene. Things is changing. But we believe that things is rigidly permanent. And that view is a heretic view. It's not correct view. Your beloved one is changing. He or she can change in the good direction. Love you a little bit, now they go love you deeper. Or love you a little bit and don't love you at all. Things is changing. So, but you always believe that everything is permanent. So you have to remove. In the future, I have no teeth to eat the crunchy rice. You have to see it. You see that life is impermanent. One day I will have no longer on these teeth to eat. But it's okay, yeah. So you see your view. You help people to overcome the cutting point of impermanence, of non-self, impermanence and non-self is not a philosophy. It's for you to put into practice and to see if it works or not. Don't say that, oh, life is impermanent, so tomorrow you hate me. No. Yeah, you see that life is permanent. Your love to that person changed, so you try to put a lot of beauty in that love, a lot of understanding in this love. And so this love will become deeper and deeper and deeper and greater. So that is what to put into practice, not to be a notion in order to keep and to fight for others. Others say that, no, life is permanent. And you say that, no, life is impermanent, and you are fighting. It's not necessary to do that. You just live, and you say that, oh, things is impermanent, my love is impermanent, so from a small love, I will paint the impermanence, I will make a bigger love. Yeah. And so, by doing so, but we are free, and you have no desire to fight. You only put into practice what you have seen. So non-self is the same. It's not a hermetic separate self. Such a person is so bad that don't think that he has a separate self. If you try to put good input in him or in her for a while, and she will change, he will change. So that is non-self of that person. So non-self of the events, it seems bad, but you put very good input, and so the situation is bad, will become better and improving and changing. So it's the way we overcome, we transcend on the notion. Because everyone have a notion, and our notion is never total, never perfect. We only have a notion of something, about one part of that something. And so you have to let go your notion in order to see other side of your notion, in order to be in touch closer with the true reality of that event, of that person, of that situation. Another gathers. It's Chinese. I wait until he translates. Letting go on the fear. Letting go, dropping down on the fear, worries. Worries and fear become solid, unshakable. Unshakable is mean when people provoke you, threaten you, you are unshakable. You are like a mountain. The fear, the threat, the violence cannot shake you. So you are unshakable. So when you arrive to that point, you have no fear, no worries, nothing. Very solid, very stable, unshakable. Nothing can make you afraid. You have that faith. that faith on your practice. And you are not afraid of anything because you practice your path and you have faith on that path because that path has helped you to be deeper, to be more understanding. And so you have that faith on that path. That's all. You continue to walk like that in your life and treasure the wonderful moment. Treasure the wonderful moment of your life now. So the Gita said that the one who have dropped on the fear and they are, you are unshakable, not being afraid, not being afraid of anything, always free. Now I read on the four gathas first. Please, Gautama Buddha, teach us how you define a Muni person who is adorned with the precept and virtue. How I can recognize him, her, and how we can recognize him or her, he's a real person, Muni person. So that is the first Gita. The second where the Buddha answer. This person is a person who have dropped on the past, worry, suffering in the past, have also not drowned, pulled by excited on the future, and not to be caught by the many things like fame, sex in the present moment. So the third, this person have dropped on the materialistic things as well as the spiritual things, have dropped on the fear, the worries, have let go on the worries, doubt, and things, and always unshakable in his or her path toward light, peace, understanding. Next day we continue.